Good evening, people of faith who come out on grand final night. Amazing. I should be finished by half time. Not really. How we doing? Good worship, man. Very good. Very good. And your team, of course. And your team. Wonderful. Isn't it good to be able to come worship God, eh? Come and worship God. I've got just a short word tonight. Or maybe it's a short word. That'll be by faith. Just got an impression that... How many people watched the AFL Grand Final yesterday? There's a few of us. I mean, I got to get this church saved, you know what I mean? For those of you who don't know, I'm not even an AFL fan and I watched it. But for those of you who don't know, the West Coast Eagles played Collingwood. Doesn't matter who you go for. But the West Coast Eagles won by 5 points. Here's the deal. I don't know, the game goes for about 100 minutes. The West Coast Eagles led for 9 of those 100 minutes. But they just led when it counted. And that was at the end. And I just think that in life, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. It's not that you start well and we're all for good starts. It's how you finish the journey in life, isn't it? I mean, I'm a lot older than a lot of you. I understand that. I'm probably a lot closer to the finish than some of you in this place. But I'm just impressed tonight that I don't want to be someone that just starts well in life. I want to be someone that finishes well in life. There's some people here tonight, you need to hear this. God has got you on an awesome journey called life. You weren't born by accident. You weren't created just by some random will of someone who doesn't care. You were born for a purpose. You were born with a destination. You were born to make a difference in this world. How many believe that tonight? I mean, I refuse to believe that we're just here taking up space. Josh talked about generation to generation. I refuse to believe that we're just here because this is our generation and we'll move on and someone else will come along and it won't matter that we're here or not. I don't believe that at all. I believe we're here to take up our place in the history of mankind. How many are with you? With me tonight. See, sometimes we can get into the thought or the delusion that we're just taking up space, that we don't make any significant difference. We are all called to impact our world. We are all called. You know, my Bible tells me, the Apostle Paul said, that not only did Christ save me, but he called me with an eternal purpose that he created for me before time even began through Christ Jesus. That blows my mind that before even time began, God was thinking about you and I and when we would take our place in history. Isn't that amazing? I'm more excited about that than you are. I think it's a pretty good thought. You know, the Bible says, you know the verse we preach a lot, I know the thoughts I think towards you. The miracle for me is that God's thinking about me. It's not even what he's thinking about me, is that he's thinking about me. I reckon he's probably got enough on his mind than to be thinking about me and you right now. He is thinking about you. Isn't that a miracle? Doesn't that make you feel pretty good? You know that Psalm 139 says that he fashioned your days before there was any of them. Before you existed, you were in the thoughts of God. You were planned for. That your days, the number of them, was fashioned before time even began. Same psalm says that if you could number the thoughts of God towards you, they would number more than the sand on the seashore. You get the impression tonight that someone's thinking about you? You get the impression tonight that you're more than a number, that you're born for a purpose, that you've got a journey to live? But as much as that is true, I know that there is also an enemy out there. There is also distractions out there that want to keep us from our destination, that want to keep us from fulfilling all that God's got for us, that want to keep us from being all that God wants us to be. It's very, very real. Sometimes we can take our eye off the ball, and it's a bit like Collingwood yesterday, isn't it? You know, they were up by 29 points in the first quarter, but something happened. They took their eye off the ball or something, and they didn't make it to the finish. I want to talk to us tonight about making it to the finish. Amen? There's a verse, a couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 12. Don't know that I've got these on the slides, but let me read them to you. You are probably familiar with them. The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 12, says, therefore we also, that's you and me, by the way, therefore we also, turn to your neighbor and say, you. He's talking about you here. He's not talking 2,000 years ago. He's talking about you and I right now. We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here the apostle is saying to us, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what cloud of witnesses is he talking about? Hebrews chapter 12, here's a thought for you. It follows Hebrews chapter 11. That was a big thought, eh? But in Hebrews chapter 11, it's what they call the Great Hall of Faith, where the writer of Hebrews just gives a summary of the likes of Abraham and the likes of Moses and the likes of David and the likes of Ruth and the likes of all the great prophets and the great patriarchs of the Old Testament. And the writer of Hebrews, he sort of puts in one chapter a summary of the exploits that all of the people of old have accomplished, and puts it on one chapter of Scripture. And then he moves into chapter 12 and he says, so now it's your turn. So now, here's a whole bunch of people that, though they may have got off track in some part of their life, they made it to the end of their journey. And now it's your turn. Now there's a race for you to run. How many know you're in a race? We're in a race. There's things that want to trip us in our race. There's things that want to stop us from getting to the finish line. But the Apostle Paul says, not the Apostle Paul, the Apostle who writes it says that we need to remember we're surrounded by this cloud that have gone before us, the generations that have gone before us, but now it's our turn to run our race, to fulfill our journey, to take the baton and run with it. Amen? It's my time. But I've got to realize that getting to the end, getting to the full-time siren in front doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose, because there's things that want to trip us on the way. And I want to address some of them tonight. There's a couple of words in the Bible that they're mentioned over and over and over again in the Bible. Have a listen to Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8. And again, Joshua is using the term good man here. The Bible's talking about a good man. And this is what the Bible says in verse 7 of Psalm 112. It says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast. Say the word steadfast. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Verse 8 says, his heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. There's two things, two words the Bible uses over and over and over again, particularly about people who make it to the end. And that is that they are steadfast and they are established. As we're singing those songs tonight, I'm thinking, you know what? I can't even remember the words, but we're talking about, I will build my life on a firm foundation. Something like that. One of them was his love, and I forget the other, not be shaken. That's pretty good. I'm a pretty good singer. You can tell I remember songs. But here's the deal. If we're going to make it to the end, if we're going to live this life, get to the full-time siren in front, we've got to learn to be steadfast in our lives, and we've got to learn to establish our lives on firm foundations. Who's with me tonight? You know, in this day and age, I think there's too much of, well, I'll just go with what feels good. Well, going with what feels good doesn't get me to the end. I need to build my life on something much firmer than what feels good at any given time. I need to, you know, again, the writer of Hebrews talks about, I think it's in chapter 9 or 6, one of the two, you can help me out. It says, I have this hope as an anchor for my soul. Jesus himself said, if you build your house on sand, when the storms come, it'll blow over. It won't be established. It won't be steadfast. But if you build your house on a rock, how many know storms are going to come to your life? How many know enemies are going to come to your life? How many know distractions are going to come to your life? And Jesus said, if you'll build yourself on something firm, obviously him, his hope, the hope of the cross, the hope of the gospel, the hope of Christianity, the hope of salvation, if you build your hope on this, then it's firm to the end. Won't move. The world, the decisions, the governments, the morality, it's shifting all the time, hey? And if we shift with it, then we're going to be like the people who build a house on sand. And we won't know what's firm. And we'll go with what feels good, or we'll go with the mentality of the day, rather than being a people. You know, I think if they were going to write two words about me, the end of my day, I would hope they write, he was steadfast and he was established. That would sort of be two words. So, Jared, come to my funeral and see what they write on my tombstone. See if they write that. One of my friends says on his tombstone, they're going to write, I told you I was sick. Have a listen to David. David says this, in the midst of David being distracted and his life going off course for a season. I'm not talking about being perfect. Our lives go off course. I'm talking about making it to the end, all right? But David, in the midst of his life, having been distracted by sin, having been distracted by off the course of God, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. How many want a steadfast spirit? How many get frustrated with yourself when you get tossed to and fro? When the way of the world takes us over here, or pain and misfortune take us over here. David prays to God in the midst of it and says, create in me something that's fastened, something that's firm, something that won't be moved by the tides of life. I'm speaking to young people here and old people alike tonight. We can determine that we're going to live a steadfast life, that we're not going to be tossed to and fro, that we're going to be established in certain things. Listen to Peter. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. We don't talk about the devil a lot in church anymore for some reason. And I don't want to give the devil a lot of airplay, other than to say he's real, other than to say his plan is to take us off track. What did Jesus say about the enemy? He comes to do, kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy everything that God wants for your life. He comes to take you off track. He comes to kill the dream of God in your life. He comes to steal that from you. He comes to destroy what God's plan is that he purposed for your life. He did it with Adam and Eve. He did it with himself. He did it with Adam and Eve, and he's trying to do it with you and I. He walks around like a roaring lion, seeking him who may devour, and the Bible says, resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, from generation to generation, we all suffer hardship, we all suffer temptation, we all suffer the enemy. Nobody's exempt from that. But the Apostle Peter says, let's resist the way of the world so we may get to the end at the finish line in front. Steadfast, established. Don't know who it was, somebody once said, if we're strong enough from within, there's nothing from without that can harm us. I'll read something to you. I want to read a page. I don't know if you know who John Wesley was. He's a great preacher, founded the Methodist movement in the UK and then America in the 1800s. I'll read a page from his diary. It says, Sunday morning, May 5th, I preached in St. Anne's and was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m., May 5, I preached at St. John's and the deacon says, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May 12, I preach at St. Jude's and I can't go back there either. Sunday p.m., May 12, I preached at St. George's, got kicked out again. Sunday, May 18, I preached at St. somebody else's and the deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m., May 19, I preached on the street and I got kicked off the street. Sunday, May 26, I preached in a meadow, was chased out of the meadow as the bull was turned loose during the services. Sunday a.m., May 12, June, I preached on the edge of town and got kicked off the highway. And Sunday p.m., June 2, after the service, I preached in a pasture and 10,000 people came to hear me. Steadfast, firm, not swayed. Made it to the end. A couple of guys in the Bible faced with the same temptation. There's a guy by the name of Joseph. How many remember Joseph? Gets a dream from God, betrayed by his brothers, brought into slavery, ends up in Potiphar's house. They say that If you know the story, particularly the story of Egypt, Potiphar had a wife. She was not very likely ugly. She was most likely a glamorous, attractive woman. Joseph, don't know how old he was at the time, but he was a normal, virile young man. And Potiphar's wife, you'll know the story, maybe you'll know the story. She came to him and she tempted him to be sexually inappropriate with her. And it says this in the book of Genesis chapter 39. It says, so it was, she spoke to Joseph day by day. Not once, day by day. This woman comes to Joseph with temptation to lay with her, temptation to be with her, temptation to satisfy his fleshly desires. I love what it says. But Joseph did not heed her. Why? Steadfast. Established. That's going to take me off course, not keep me on course. Day after day. But see, you don't just make up your mind in the moment of temptation. You make up your mind before the moment of temptation. you make up your mind that you're going to live by what will keep you on course, not be distracted by what could possibly take you off course. And day by day, Potiphar's wife comes to Joseph and he keeps saying, nope, I got a higher call. I got a bigger journey. I got a greater life to live. That's not going to take me to where God wants me to be. He did not heed her. There's another guy in the Bible, Judges chapter 16, verse 1. His name's Samson. He comes to the same temptation. Now, Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. He didn't last a verse. Here's Joseph. Day by day by day. Here's Samson. No resistance. Now, at the end of the day, Samson is even mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But Samson's inability to be steadfast in the face of distraction cost him dearly when it comes to the journey that God had him on. The reason I share this with you tonight is because Hope Point, I want to see a people. Forget the past. Whatever's happened yesterday is yesterday. Thank God for the gospel. Amen. Thank God that whatever my past has been up until this point, I can bring it to the cross of Jesus Christ. I can put it behind me the same as Samson did. God, through his grace and mercy, forgave Samson, and Samson came back and had his day. But let's not just believe for a comeback. Let's believe from this day we build our lives on a firm foundation that is steadfast, it's established, because we'll see the will of God, which is great, come to pass in our lives. Amen? Who's with me? We'll be a Joseph. Let's not be a Samson. The difference between Samson's life and Joseph's life was not anointing, was not power from God. It was character. It was steadfastness. It was the fact that they were firm, not only in what they believed, but on the journey that they were going to live their lives. And tonight I want to give you three things. Three things that may help you live. Is that my phone? Oh, you know what that is? Yeah, take it out, Josh. No, it's in the front. That's my phone. Just throw it up here. Yeah, that's my alarm. I had a rest this afternoon. And Jared gave me a room. I thought that was off. The alarm goes off even when your phone's on silent. That's a free point from tonight's sermon. And I'm thinking, who's got their phone on? So Jared, I had a rest at Jared's house, and I thought, just in case I fall asleep, I got to be in church. I don't know what's going off now. Obviously, I put the wrong time on it as it was. What is it anyway? You like my alarm? It's a third day song. Wake up, child. It's your turn. That's what it says. Wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. That's my alarm clock. Drives my wife crazy. It's a rock song. Anyway, where was I? You distracted me. Three things. If you want to live an established, steadfast life, here's just three things. Number one is this. Listen to Proverbs 4, verse 26. It says, ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Ponder the path of your feet. What does ponder mean? Think about where you're putting your feet. I put it like this. Start with the end in mind. Determine how you want to finish now. Determine. I sort of said in jest there before about what they're going to write on your tombstone, but it's a good idea to make up your mind now what you want them to write. and live every day from this day to that to see that happen. Who's with me? To ponder the path of your feet means to be a Joseph in your life. Think about, not the temptation, think about the cost. Ponder where you put your feet. Is that the right place to be putting my feet? Or is that, and it's not even about what's right and wrong all the time. Will that way get me to where God wants me to be? Or will that way get me to where God wants me to be? To think beforehand, to ponder. I love what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Acts 20:24. He says this. He says, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. He says that in the book of Acts. He's in prison. He's saying, look, all of the stuff that's gone wrong, all of the adversity I'm facing, I'm not going to let it move me. I'm going to be established. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to finish what God started. I'm going to make it to the end. And then towards the end of his life, he's able to write to his son Timothy as an encouragement, as an example. And he says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. That'd be a good thing for him to write on your gravestone, wouldn't it? I finished the race. I fought the fight. Now it's the next generation's turn. But I lived the life that God wanted me to live. I had an impact. I made a difference. They might have cut off my head, but I'm going to glory anyway. Finished. If you want to live a steadfast life, you've got to make your mind up now how you're going to live your life. Otherwise, we get tossed to and fro by every wind that comes our way. I wonder how much you think about what you do. Ponder the path. Don't ponder whether you get caught or not. Ponder whether it's good or not. Ponder whether it'll take you into the plan of God or not, in Jesus' name. Number two is this. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Paul says, therefore as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Listen to it. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Paul says to the church, you've been found in Christ, now walk in Christ. What's it mean to walk in Christ? You know, I find this. I can't be established just because I'd make up my mind to be established. It's a daily effort. I've written a few things up here. Just put up that next thing there if you don't mind. Daily walk with Jesus, time in his word, prayer, and feeding yourself the good things. Paul says you got to feed yourself. He says again to the Galatians, he says, walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. See, you can't resist the lust of your flesh. You got to walk in the spirit. Does that make sense? You got to walk. You know, I can't read your Bible for you. I can't pray for you. I can't spend your time with Jesus every day for you. Only you can do that. Only you. Others can help you be steadfast. Others can help you be established. But primarily, you're the one that's got to take responsibility. I'm the one that's got to take responsibility. Because, you know, when I find that I get distracted from whatever, by whatever, in the things of God, you know, I can usually come back and say, you know something? I haven't been walking with him closely enough lately. Would that be fair? Yeah, my prayer life sucks a bit at the moment, you know? Haven't really been in the word much lately. Haven't really been in worship. Church, I go when I feel like it. You know, that's when I'm at or in danger of the enemy coming, seeding thoughts, seeding things, seeding stuff in my life that's going to take me off track. If you know Jesus Christ here today, you're saved. You're going to heaven, all right? Because it's the grace of God. But so many people get robbed of the fullness of what God's got for their lives because they don't learn to walk with Jesus on a daily basis. First thing, determine now how you want to furnish. Second thing, you got to walk daily. You got to walk constantly. Everything you do builds your life or takes from your life. Everything you do. We need to decide tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and it's going to be easy not to pray. But is that going to build me or is that going to take from me? It's going to take from me. Number three is this. Listen to Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Plans are established by counsel, by wise counsel, wage war. Here's number three. Don't walk alone. If you want an established, steadfast life, you can't do it on your own. That's why God puts us in church. That's why we're together in this journey of following Christ. Because as much as I might determine how I want to finish, as much as even I might personally walk with Christ daily, I need brothers and sisters beside me that'll help me stay established. Again, I mentioned this morning, there's a proverb in Proverbs 18 that says, he who isolates himself rages against all wise judgment. In other words, you can't continue to be firm, established, and steadfast on your own. I'm committed to that thought. I believe that with all of my heart. Listen to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. It says this. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The apostle here is telling us to not forsake being together. Why? Because Jared needs you to listen to him preach every week. Josh needs you to come and worship with him. No. It says, let's not forsake. And I'm not just talking here about coming to church. I'm talking about what we're doing for each other between weeks as well. But the Bible here says, don't forsake being together. Don't forsake counsel. Don't forsake having other people that can help you stay in the path. Don't forsake that. It actually says, if you look at verse 24, it says this. It says, let us consider one another. Let me read it to you out of the Amplified Bible, because you'll love this. Australians love this, especially Australian men. They love this. It says, let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite each other to helpful deeds and noble activities. Now, here's the deal. You know what the word consider means? When I'm considering something, what am I doing? Huh? I'm thinking about it. The apostle or the apostle says, let us consider each other. Let's think about each other. Let other people think about me. How does that make you feel? Josh, think about how you can stir me up to keep on the track. Shane, think about how you can stir Daniel up to stay on the path. Woo! I mean, that's pretty nosy, isn't it? But the apostle's writing it because he's realizing that if we don't have other people in our life to stir us up, we're going to go awry. We're going to get off track because I'm not strong enough. I need people in my life to say, Gary, stay on path. Let me encourage you. Let me stir you up. You're falling behind. Let me help you in the journey. That's what I love about church. We're not here just to get ourselves to heaven. We're here to get as many other people to heaven as we can. I'm not here just to get myself to the end of the race. I'm here to help you get to the end of your race. We're here to help each other get to the end. What would it be like in church if we just were so committed to each other that we were prepared to consider each other, how we could stir each other up to stay on track so that we're established and we're steadfast to the end? What would that be like? Again, I can guarantee you, the times my life's got off course, the times I've been distracted, the times I've isolated myself, not let other people speak into my life. How many people want to be established? How many people want to be firm? It's a good thought, isn't it? I'm going to make it to the end. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to run the race. I'm going to keep the faith. But it takes more than just wanting to do it. I've got to do it. You going to come up? We'll worship God in a minute. One more word from the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 15:58. He finishes his letter to the Corinthian church. And he says, therefore, my beloved brethren. Therefore, Hope Point. Be steadfast. Immovable. It's a good word. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain. Because when we're steadfast, when we're immovable, we get to the end. We get to the end in front. We get to the end with a lot of other people with us. We get to the end having lived this life victoriously. We get to the end knowing we've given it our best shot. Knowing we haven't lived like Samson, we've lived like Joseph. We're getting to the end. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured cross for you and I, looked to the reward, stayed steadfast. Our Savior, all of the temptation, all of the calamity, all of the pain that was going to happen to him, and yet my Bible says he set his face like flint towards Jerusalem because he knew that was the journey God had for him. What an example. You know what his reward is? It's you and I. The joy that was set before him, he endured. We're his reward. And with you and I living lives that are steadfast and established, we will see many, many more people come to know Jesus Christ. Why don't you stand with me this evening? Steadfast. Close your eyes right now with me. Fully aware when I preach something like this, I got to look in the mirror. And I got to recognize when there's parts of my own life that aren't steadfast and aren't established, when I've allowed distractions take me off course, when I haven't journeyed the way I potentially should journey. We're all like that. David got off course. Abraham got off course. Moses got off course. We all get off course in life, don't we? We're human beings. But that's where the beauty of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, comes in. He's willing to pick us up every day. What did David say? Though I fall, I will not be cast down, because he'll pick me up again. When I do things that get me off course, his grace and his mercy will come around my life and he'll pick me up and he'll put me back on course. Tonight, I just want us to be a people that come to God and say, God, maybe I've been on course, maybe I've been off course, but right now, I resolve in my spirit that I'm going to do my best to run this race. I'm going to do my best to take the baton that's been passed to me, all the thoughts that you have towards me, and I'm going to run my race. I'm going to fulfill the plan of God for my life. I'm going to allow other people to speak into my life so I may stay on course. I'm going to walk with you every day of my life, that I may be firm and I may be established and I may be steadfast in my faith. I'm going to learn from your word. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to do all that I can to make me firm in the call of God in my life. Father God, right now, come by the power of your Spirit. Show us where we're distracted. Show us where we're in error. Show us where there's weights that are keeping us down. Show us where we've let expectations of a great future leave us because of disappointment or pain or betrayal or whatever it might be. Show us that, Lord. And Father, help us to pick it up again. Help us again on this Sunday night, the last day of September 2018, to once again pick up this baton and say, man, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. We want to run this race. It's not a small race. It's not an insignificant race. It is a race of greatness. It is a race of destiny. It is a race of purpose. Help us, Lord, to pick up this baton again as an individual, as a church, that we may fulfill the call of God upon our lives. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And maybe as people are praying in this place tonight, you're here and you're not walking with Christ. You don't even know Christ. You've not heard or given consideration to the fact that there is a God who created not only you, but he created a journey for you. That he created purpose for you. That when you were born, you weren't born by accident. You were born with purpose. You were born on purpose. And maybe the way of the world is taking you off track. Maybe you've never even heard that there's a God that loves you so much, he would send his son to die for you, to forgive you, and to put the purpose back in your life. If you've not heard that, you've not responded to that, you're not walking with Christ tonight, and you say to me, Gary, I want to believe I was born for more than this. I want to believe I can be forgiven. I want to believe that tonight I can have a brand new start through Christ Jesus. If I'll determine to put my past behind me and follow in his ways, I can start over again tonight. If that's you, if you're in this place and you say to me, Gary, I need a new start. I need to be forgiven. I need to be put back on track. I need to believe there's something better for my life. Why don't you raise your hand with me right now? Not to me, but with me, and say, Jesus Christ, would you forgive me? Jesus Christ, would you make me alive again? Jesus Christ, would you give me your life that I may live a life of purpose in Jesus' name? If that's you, just raise your hand with me right now. Raise your hand with me. Don't be embarrassed. Raise your hand across this place tonight. So I need to live a life firm to the end. I don't want to be tossed to and fro by the opinions of others, by the ways of the world. I want to follow Christ tonight. Is that you? Is that you? Is that you? For the rest of us, we're going to sing. We're going to worship him for a minute. We're going to ask him to forgive us of all the things that have got us off course. We're going to ask for his Holy Spirit to help us to get back on course. You need prayer tonight for anything? Maybe something in this message is just, it's just spoken to your life. Maybe you're just wanting to say, God, I've been off course. I know that the life I'm living is less than what you've got for me. I'd like to pray for you tonight. I have been in that place so many times. I have wanted to give up so many times. I have let distractions so many times come my way. But tonight, if you say to me, Gary, I've been living below par. I've been living below what I believe God's got for my life. Let me pray for you tonight. Let me stand with you tonight. Let me agree with you tonight. That God, the God of all grace and love and mercy, would come around our lives, put us back on track. In Jesus' name, let's sing.